I wish to extend greetings to you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Blessing to be back with you. Bring greetings from the brethren in Columbia. It's a real blessing to be there with them. They seem to be doing well. We had a baptism while we were there. Nathan, Ishmael's oldest boy, only boy, I guess, but he wanted to be baptized, and so we took him down to the ocean and baptized him there. A real blessing, again, there to be there with them. So keep them in your prayers. Seemed like they were very encouraged. Tried to share with them, you know, this is, it was just a real blessing. Just to see how many people that have been influenced by them in that community, in that little area. I know Ishmael gets discouraged once in a while because the church isn't what he wants it to be. It's not just, doesn't appear to be really growing the way he would want it to. But I just pointed out to him, you know, he works in a school and there's 596 students in that school. And he's the assistant principal. And the principal comes to church with us every time I'm down there, and he listens in and meets with them regularly. He's not where we would want him to be exactly, or where we think he ought to be, but he is learning these principles and applying them to the students and the decisions that the students make. And then several people, it's just a real blessing that there are things going on, even though it may be not look like that there's just a big church there. And I just want to encourage, you know, people just wherever, and that's what I want to talk about, is being where God puts you, being the light where you're at. I've just tried to tell people, you know, whenever they ask if a church can be planted, I've told you all this, but I just say no. You be the church where you're at. And that's what, I don't know, one of the boys asked me about how many different countries I'd been to, and it just kind of got me thinking. I counted up 44 that I can remember, and I've flown over 3 million miles. I don't even know. That's not even keeping track. Just trying to look for people all over the world that are looking for something more. Not necessarily going and trying to plant a church or denomination at all, but to inspire people to be what God wants us to be. And I just, you know, it's nice that we've got a nice group here, but there's a whole wide world bigger than Monette. And that's what we've tried to reach out to, and tried to get little flickers of light everywhere in the world. And let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father, for all that you do for us, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for Jesus and his willingness, Father, to leave eternity, leave the world of everything that's real and take on flesh and come and dwell among us in this place, Father. We thank you for his victory and rising from the dead after this world crucified him, Lord, and the victory that he's given, Father. We ask, Lord, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you'd help us be faithful to you. Give us wisdom, Father. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, just begin reading here. It says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers of the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son. Here's the message of Jesus. God, in the old times, used prophets, and he spoke to them in many ways, it said. But then here in 2,000 years ago, they say in the last days he has spoken to us through his own Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. You know, it's just still amazing to me sometimes to realize that Jesus created this world. It was his. He designed it. It's his idea. It's his thought. And he put man in it. Man was his idea. Man was his thought. Man was his crowning jewel in this world. He created man in his own image to be like God, only restrained to a body. And that's what Jesus was. He was God in the flesh, restrained to a body. You know, there's so much more God is. We can't even fathom what he is or who he is or how he thinks or all of these different wonderful things. But we can see his goodness all around us in the creation. We can see his beauty. We can see the things he loved. And we can, just in our very nature, know that there's good things and there's bad things in this world. And all of this world was created good by Christ himself. In the last days he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is, this is speaking about Jesus, says, and he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. Jesus, he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. That just lays it out just exactly what God is. When you saw Jesus, and that's what he, in many ways, God has spoke to the world, but in his last days, he has came into this world, an exact replica of God in the flesh, radiating his glory, and is an exact representation of his nature. That's just an amazing thought. You know, whenever we think of who Jesus is, Jesus is an exact representation of God. We're fixing to have a baptism after a while. And one of the other Bedroom boys has asked to go along with Ruby. And Elijah, and be baptized. And it's their desire to follow Jesus. And you know, that's a glorious thing. But more importantly, you know, there's people who can imitate or mimic. I mean, in the world, there's all kinds of, you know, someone creates something and it isn't long before someone comes along and reproduces it in a cheaper fashion or a different. It's just not the original. You know, people pay thousands of dollars for a purse or something because a certain man designed it. And so right away, people all over the world try to recreate the image of that person. They sell it and make all kinds of money, but they're fake. They're just trying to recreate this image a little bit. They're trying to look like it. You know, they have a desire maybe, but they're still falling short of it. But a Christian is someone who is taking on the nature of God. You know, whenever we think of being filled with the Holy Spirit, sometimes we think, well, it's some fantastical thing, you know, with the big groups, some of the big Pentecostal groups and stuff think that it's all about just really getting all excited and emotional. I grew up going to church and people would jump up and shout and holler and run up and down and wave their hankies up and down the aisle, and boy, they were filled with the Spirit. No, they were just overly charged, overly excited. And it's a good thing to be excited about the message, but that's not what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. People all over have, well, I'm doing miracles and I'm speaking in tongues and I'm doing all kinds of things. And that's not what it means to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit is to be filled with the nature of Christ. To be filled with the nature of God in your life. That's what being born again means. You're no longer of Satan's nature, but you're becoming the nature of God. Just like Christ took on this flesh and became a man with the nature of God, the exact representation of Christ, of God. That's who Christ was. And just like that, this flesh, this body, these bodies that God has given us, can now take on that representation of God themselves. That's what it means to be born again. And in a nutshell, that's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. You know, there's religious people, there's legal things, there's all kinds of things we can do to imitate. But you do not imitate having the nature of God. You know, it might fall short in some of the things that religious people expect. But you don't imitate the nature of God when you live it out in your life. You know, I thought about this, and you know, God spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets. He gave a message, and in many portions and in many different ways, God spoke to people. And I just thought about that this morning. You know, here we've got our Bibles. Everybody's got a Bible. And I just thought about that. Everybody has able to quote the Bible. I mean, the worldliest TV show you got, somebody will quote a Bible verse, and everybody recognizes and understands it, where it comes from. And I just wonder sometimes, or just thought about it. Don't pick up any stones, but I just wonder if the Bible was even really God's intention for man. You know, I'm glad for it. I've learned, I love it. I've learned a lot from it. But I think God's real intention for the church was for people to live His nature, not just be able to quote a bunch of Bible verses, not be able to build a structure of religion around the Bible verses. His goal for you and the whole world is for somebody, you and me, to take on the nature of God in this flesh. And that's what this baptism is representing. Becoming a body, a human. We have this body that's in Satan's power. And now we're giving this body to take on the nature of God itself, Himself. That's what baptism is. Dying and being born again. It's representing a being born again. There again, that term, everybody knows born again. That's some fanatical guy beating the Bible. Usually is what the world thinks about it. Somebody trying to cram the Bible down your throat. He's a born again. Everybody just rolls their eyes. Born again is whenever you lay down this nature that we've inherited and promoted ourselves that came from Satan. And we lay that down and we take on the nature of God. That's how we're filled with the Spirit. That's how we're born again. That's how we're converted. All of these religious terms that people have no right to pick up a Bible even, have taken it and twisted it, turned it around into all kinds of things that it never intended to mean. God spoke this word and it became a man. Man has just taken it and written it down and locked it all down and locked people out of the kingdom of God. People I've talked about this before. There was a man that lived about 300 years, during that time, 350 years after the time of Christ, 350, 400, his name was Diogenes. And he was basically a critic. He wasn't necessarily even a godly man or a Christian man. It was in Greece, so it would have been during that period. But he was known for... You've seen pictures of this man in the barrel with straps on it. That's him. Walking around living in a barrel. Back then it was actually a jar of some kind that they had used. But he had a lantern. And he would walk out in broad daylight with a lit lantern. Lantern burning in broad daylight, wearing this jar contraption, probably strapped on him. And he was rebelling basically against the craziness of society. They thought he was crazy. He was probably even, you know, like I said, I'm not sure that he was how much of a Christian he was, but he knew that society was messed up. And he would go around throughout everywhere he went with this lit lantern in the broad daylight. And he would walk up and he'd put it in people's faces. And he would say, "I'm looking for a righteous man." And then just turn away and walk. "I'm looking for an honest man, a righteous man." And then he'd just turn away. That was how he evangelized, basically. the point was there was religion all over the place. There was just 300 years, something after Jesus died, there was churches all over the place. There was pagan religions, the Greek gods and all of that was going on full strength. The Catholic Church had actually been going for years. The Roman Catholic Church, it had been going for years. So there was religion all over the place. And this man was looking for a righteous man. People had the Bible. They had religion. They had all these things. But was there anyone with the nature of God that this man encountered? I don't know. I just wonder what he would think today if he was here seeing all the things. He'd probably be doing the same thing. He'd been locked up a long time ago. Everybody would have thought he was crazy. But being born again, being saved, being converted, all it simply means is I am, through the miracle of trusting in God, the miracle of Jesus' death and burial and resurrection, the miracle of this one who created all things, then came and took on this body that lived as a man in this world with the exact nature of God. And he rose again and said, here, I'm going to give this gift to you. And people took it. And that's the Bible God wants us to know and read. He wants us to be the nature of God. That's the whole message of the Bible, is trying to show man how to be the nature of God, how to be a partaker, how to be a part of it, not just in a dogmatic religious kind of way, but in a yielding and a desire to be a godly man. You know, we know a lot of righteous people, and here's the difference. You know, we have a righteous man has the nature of God. A self-righteous man takes some doctrine or some rule and just starts to try to force it down everybody's throat. Everybody thinks that's a righteous person because he's strict. He doesn't do anything. You know, he's just... But if he doesn't have the nature of God, he's nothing but a cheap imposter. You know, how would you like to spend $10,000 or $20,000 on a Rolex watch and show it to somebody and the guy looks at it and says, that is a fake. It's worth about 20 bucks. You know, there's a lot of people going to stand before God thinking they're wearing a Rolex, carrying a Gucci bag. And Jesus is going to say, you're a fake, an imposter. I'm looking for someone that looks like me. I'm looking for someone that has the very nature that I've got. Because that is where life is. That's what's going to belong in heaven. You know, I've told some people about, you know, what Jesus' rules are pretty simple. You know, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Somebody asked me, well, thought about it, you know, and said, well, if I was a child, you know, how do you do this? You know, if you're a father and you love your child as yourself, well, how would my child want to be treated? Well, he'd want candy and he'd want all kinds of things. He'd want treats, and he'd want to go play all the time, and he'd want to. So how can I treat him as myself? This book was given for righteous people. And a righteous man knows that a child's desires are not a good thing for him. Or he doesn't really need that, and he doesn't really want that. But we take this book and we kind of twist it, and we can make it jump into any little corner we want it to be in. You know, we're trying to train our children so that they will grow up and see this nature in us and want to be a part of it. We're not trying to train robots so that they can say all the right things and do all the right things. We're trying to instill in them the nature of God. Training our children. I mean, sometimes whenever bad things happen. You know, I've seen this happen before, that parents just fall apart in front of their children. We're the godly nature. I remember hearing a story about one time something really bad happened, and the mother was putting some biscuits in the oven or something, and the child came running in and panicked, and she just put the biscuits in and closed the door and said, "It's in God's hands. Let's just leave it there. We'll leave it in God's hands." Just that calm, reassuring. You know, if we raise our children the way a lot of us live, you know, just total wrecks, nervous wrecks all the time, scared to death, just panicking all the time. That's how they're going to be whenever it comes time for them to try to take care of us. You know, but if we raise our children and we're rocks, not strict rocks, but solid, knowing where our faith is, knowing where our trust is, able to rest in that and be and deliver and show the nature of God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness. I mean, just a constant, steady flow of that out of your life. You'll raise little rocks that can be depended on, that'll pass this on. We're trying to raise our children to have the nature of God. And that nature is passed by faith to faith. In other words, someone that has that nature and someone that can give that nature. They have something, we've told it before. I think the reason a lot of times people can't forgive is because they've never tasted forgiveness. But you get a hold of forgiveness. I mean, Paul later, he tells about himself, and he said that he was a vile man. But he found the Lord. He found this Christ. And he was forgiven. You know, Mary, she was a bad girl. But whenever she found the Lord, she was there crying at his feet, washing his feet with her tears and drying it with her hair. And all the holy people thought, well, that, who would this sinner, letting that sinner touch him? And Jesus said, she that's been forgiven much will love much. And that's the way it is. If we see who God is, and that's what Jesus' purpose was coming, to show us who God is so that we could actually see Him, realize this forgiveness, and then be able to give it to everyone around us. To realize and recognize His mercy and how He had mercy on me. And to turn around and be able to be merciful to other people. To be able to love because He first loved us. He showed us His love. And that's what all He asked is just to take what He's given you and make the best of it. Don't waste it. Don't pollute it with all the other garbage that's going on in the world. Take what He's given you. You know, some people say, well, God made me a superstar, so that's why I'm a superstar football, and it's all God. You know, they'll pray and thank the Lord, and they should. But just because He's given us a physical talent doesn't mean, that's not what He's talking about whenever He's talking about using your talents. His talent, He's given you love. He's given you mercy. He's given you forgiveness. He's given you the character of God. Don't waste it. May the Lord add His blessings. Let's just go. We're going to McDowell, so let's just go right on down there after we dismiss. If you don't know how to go, get behind somebody you can trust, hopefully. And anyway, so praise the Lord. Well, anyone have anything you'd like to share before we close? Okay. All right. Anyone else?
Really appreciate the message.
Praise the Lord.
You know, just the thought of just doing what's right. It's that simple.
Well, be a man. That's just. Takes courage, just not maybe just to go along with every little thing, but just to be a man like God created men to be.
Brother Stanley, read your
one. Okay, thank you.
We do a singing at Aurora and Mount Vernon today.
Yeah, well, that's why we need to mosey right on along. So, all right, well, God bless y'all. See you at the river.